Hello and welcome to another episode of My Art Broker Talks. We have a very exciting episode today as we will be discussing the importance of a data-driven marketplace and how markets reports serve as essential guides that benefit various stakeholders in the art industry, from collectors to dealers and investors, offering a deeper understanding of market trends and pricing dynamics. Given my role at My Art Broker as researcher and author of our own market reports, I am absolutely thrilled to be joined here today by a very special guest. She is the force behind the sought-after reports that dealers, galleries, auctioneers eagerly await, Lindsay Dewar from Art Tactic. Lindsay is the COO who has an extensive background in art market research from her time working in contemporary art galleries and with art advisories and valuation companies, and overall has an extensive and impressive knowledge of the art market at large. Lindsay, thank you so much for being here. How are you doing today?
Good, and thank you for having me on the podcast.
Amazing. I'm so happy that you could be here. If it's all right with you, let's jump right in.
Sure. So do you want me to give you a bit of background about Art Tactic and kind of what I'm up to there?
That would be amazing. For our listeners who might be unfamiliar, could you start with a brief background and what Art Tactic does and what your role is with them?
Of course. Well, Art Tactic is a data-driven company, as you said. We have been working in the art market analysis space since 2001. So we've been going for quite a long time now, although we still feel like a startup. I think one of the kind of key things for us is that we source and clean all of our data independently and tailor it to what the client wants or kind of what market reports that we want to make. So I'm the COO of Art Tactic. So I'm in charge of kind of making the company tick over and making sure that we get all of our reports out. We typically write a report about once a week on a range of things from the art market, whether that be a specific artist, such as David Hockney, who we'll talk about a bit later, I'm sure, a specific market like the prints market, which we're definitely going to talk about, or more generally looking at the whole market in its entirety and seeing kind of what's happening on a global level. So we like to try and do as many things as possible.
That is so amazing, so fascinating. Even from what you just said, I'm immediately drawing similarities and certain parallels from the startup nature of Art Tactic to the startup nature of My Art Broker to our passion, some might call it nerdy, but our passion for data-driven art market analysis. I think it's absolutely fascinating that you guys clean your data yourselves. My Art Broker, we have our own print market database, which is powered by a bespoke algorithm. So it's really fascinating to see, you know, the sort of similarities and differences there, which all sort of accumulate back around the data-driven market reports that we put out for our clients. So speaking of market reports, researcher to researcher, editor to editor, I think market reports are crucial for understanding the complexities of the art market, especially with the rising interest in art as an investment. You know, art is commonly considered an illiquid asset, which just basically means it's not easily converted into cash due to its subjective nature and how the market is essentially based off fluctuating tastes. However, I think the reports produced by both of our organizations aim to objectively capture these shifts in the art market. Would you agree?
Absolutely. I think one of the key things that we try and do here at Art Tactic is make sure that we report on what's happening in the market. You know, so at the moment, it's not such a rosy picture as it was, you know, 18 months ago. And I think one of the key things for us is that we're really neutral, that our main thing is that we report on what's happening in the market so that people can make decisions. And I think what market reports are really great at, and kind of what both of our reports do, is not just look at the very high level, you know, the market is doing this, but what's happening within that market, what's happening in this kind of smaller area that people might be investing in, or what's happening with the artist that you actually own or the artist that you're interested in. And often when you kind of cut down data in so many ways, you can find really interesting stories that might be missing from that kind of headline effect that we often see.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. At the end of the day, I think it's all about compiling data, trying to make sense of that data, well, trying to make sense of the shifts in demand over a given period with that data, presenting that to, you know, our client base in a sensical way. Ultimately, what our goal is, just towards, you know, from an unbiased perspective, but basically just providing a sense of transparency that could be lacking in other areas in the art market towards fair market value of the artworks that are so in demand. So tell me, with the Art Tactic reports, who would you say they are primarily for? Who is the client base? Who are they made for? Is it investors? Is it enthusiasts? What would you say?
I would say, although we do have some enthusiasts, our reports are not bedtime reading. They are professional reports that we write for professionals. So our main clients are people who work with high net worth collectors. So that can come in a variety of forms. It might be, you know, the gallery or the art advisor or an auctioneer in the kind of the more arty side of the art market, so to speak, or maybe it's someone on the more corporate side. You know, we deal with a lot of insurance companies who need to know what the marketplace is doing. The same with, you know, lawyers, wealth planners, people who work in finance. Their clients need to know what's happening with the market. You know, artworks are now not just decorative on the wall. People really do see them as part of their financial portfolio, and therefore they want to understand what is happening. And they see a headline that says one thing and they want to turn to a trusted advisor and say, is that right? Like, what's happening to what I'm doing? And so that we get a lot of people who want to know something more specific. They don't want to know that the global art market is down 19% year on year. They want to know what's happening to Andy Warhol, specifically Marilyn Prince. That's what they really want to know about. And that's kind of what we work on trying to show people.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I think the same thing with our market reports. I think while reports on, say, a specific category or a broader trend are important, I think what a lot of people are looking for right now and what's really important with the art market is the individual performance of a solo artist, how that market is doing, perhaps the person who's wants to know, perhaps they own an artwork by that artist, or perhaps they're looking to acquire one, but exactly, they don't want to know the current state of the art market. They probably already know that. What we want to know is how this specific work, how this artist, how that market is doing, and how it's going to perform in the future. With data and analytics, no one better to ask than you, because I know you're in it all day, as am I. How do you see the role of data and analytics shaping the future of the art market?
I think it's really important. I think something that I've noticed in the last kind of maybe like 6 or 7 years since I've been with Art Tactic is that people understand data so much more now. The level of data literacy has really increased in the last few years, and therefore the demand has increased. People understand when you talk about data, when they want to see a graph now. Before it was, you know, oh, that's for somebody else. But now it's like, oh no, I want to consume that and I understand it. So I want to see it. I think one of the key things that will shape the future of kind of data, I mean, not just in the art market, is where's the data coming from? Is it a trusted source? Do you know where they're getting their data from? Do you understand that? Like, can you look at the data and say, okay, yes, that's what I'm looking for? And I think that that's kind of one of the key things to get people to be aware of.
Absolutely. I think it's something really exciting to talk about as well. You know, there is a shift happening, and I think that in the art market at large, and I think that shift has a lot to do with the advancements, which is out of all of our controls, of the advancement of digital technologies. It's kind of like an umbrella effect. Digital technologies, it stems down to data. How can, you know, AI or smart technologies produce that data, which is an entirely reason of why we've integrated our value indicator and graph into our own website to, you know, show the auction histories. This is what's happening. These are the hammer prices. These are the prices with fees. Within our value indicator, we also incorporate private sales, which I'm going to get to later. But yeah, I think it's really important because I think that's, you know, a big thing about market reports, my art brokers and yours. This is what people want to see. They want to see it clear in a concise way that they can understand. For, you know, all our light readers, I don't think our market reports are going anywhere.
No, definitely not. I think they're here to stay. And I think the fact there are now kind of so many different ones that are like integral to the art market itself is, you know, says that, you know, there are ones that come out every year that everybody knows about, that we all kind of look out for and that are cited everywhere. And, you know, I think people want to see it. And I think it's a good thing. Data brings transparency. You know, it brings lots of different things to the market, which I think is very beneficial.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially in a market that has been notoriously opaque. This is, you know, market reports and data and graphs. They're something that we could look forward to and put some credible backing to. I want to move into market trends. Market reports are, of course, meant as a resource to make data available, but they also highlight trends or address topics of interest. This is why, for example, our latest report was dedicated solely to the Banksy print market, which we have been involved in for a very long time, but this was our first Banksy-only report, and we found it crucial to put out there to address the topic of a correction in the Banksy market, showing the true current state of the market backed by data. So it's a trending topic, but this is the data, and that you decide what you will with the data that proves it. So how do you think market reports highlight trends, what we like to call in the art market?
I think they're really great for, you know, as I was saying earlier, they're really great for kind of pulling out key and different aspects of a market. As we talked about, you know, you get a headline figure, but then kind of what's happening behind that. You know, we put out a prints report that just looked at contemporary prints, and that showed that the market was actually a bit down. This is across the whole market for contemporary prints, whereas if we look at the prints market overall, including, you know, old master prints, etc., actually the prints market's up. So it kind of, you have to understand what you're looking for and what the market reports are showing you. And just because something is down doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. As I said earlier, you can always find a good news story, and you can always find what's relevant to what you're looking into. I think one of the things that we've really noticed recently is how strong the lower end of the market is across all sections, not just prints, you know, all artworks. The lower end of the market is performing really strongly. So even though the headline might be that the market is down or is softening, actually there's still a lot of demand. People are out there, and, you know, there's high volume, and people want to buy. People want to be part of the market. That, you know, Banksy's are still selling. So people still want to sell and buy. You know, it's still happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a very good point. I mean, even if you think, you mentioned that the lower end of the market is up now, do you mean emerging artists or?
I mean, like price-wise. So
price-wise, right? Okay. Yeah, definitely something that that we saw a lot of in 2023. We've been referring to it as the, you know, core sector of the market, and, you know, for whatever reason that we can apply to that, it's I'm sure it's a lot of things. It's, you know, has to do with rising interest rates, and perhaps the lack of private owner collections. There's a lot of things that contribute to it. But yeah, definitely something that we saw trending in 2023. So I'm really glad you brought up Art Tactics print reports, because you know I want to ask you about them. Being in the print market, of course, I was excited to see the, I think it was the first, correct me if I'm wrong, it was the first prints and editions report that you released in 2022. Is that right?
Yeah. 2022 was our first one. So I know you want to know why we did it.
Yeah, I want to know why. Tell me all about this. What so started the prints and editions interest?
We'd always been interested in the market. We just didn't quite know where to go with it and what to do. And then eventually, after many, many clients asking us for specific information about prints, about this, about that, we had one client who we work with an awful lot. And she said, I need a Warhol prints report. I need it. And I said, well, if we're going to do Warhol prints, how do we just pull out Warhol? Let's just do the whole market. So, you know, we sat down and we made a prints database. And from that, you know, our client was very happy that she got her Andy Warhol prints report, which was our very first one, which was bespoke. So nobody's ever seen it except for her. But that's how we kind of started building the prints database. And then we thought, oh, you know, let's kind of look into this. And since then, we, you know, it's just kind of, it's what everybody wants to talk to us about. You know, the market for prints is huge. There's so much demand there from you know, collectors and the auction houses are really focusing on it. And, you know, the market overall is going up when the rest of the market seems to be having a tough time. So I think it's an interesting section.
Which again, you know, kind of plays into what we mentioned earlier with, you know, the prices in the market coming down slightly from the $1 million paintings. This is the core sector of the market. And I'm throwing numbers out here, perhaps like 100,000 to 1 million, anywhere in between. But this is the core sector. These are what prints are priced in. Some even lower than that. But it just goes to show, you know, the broad range of this dynamic sector and how affordable prints can be, but also how high value they can be as well.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that we kind of see is that they can be a great entryway into the market. You know, people can, you know, to use my Warhol example, you can get a Warhol print and it, you know, it can be a lot of, you know, millions of dollars, but it can also be, you know, kind of thousands or tens of thousands. So if you're looking for a Warhol, a print can be a great way of gaining entry into that market. So I think that's kind of why we see a lot of interest there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's definitely something that we're excited about and that we hope continues. That does remind me. So last year, I did notice that you were featured in an article where you were talking about the art market landscape and how it was evolving in 2023, you know, trends that you noticed. And I did notice that you mentioned that prints were a dynamic sector. They were growing. There's growth there. Do you think that this observation still holds weight into 2024? It's a little early to make that prediction, I know.
Well, it's a tough one in April to answer that one. I do think so. I think some of the trends that we saw kind of in the report that I put out earlier this year show that it's a broadening market. So, you know, it's not just dominated by those kind of top names that everybody knows. And I know that that's the focus of your reports and your work. But what we've seen is that, you know, there's more women artists being included in the prints, you know, prints sales at auction. There are more young artists under 45 years old. You know, the number of lots sold by young artists of prints was up by, you know, 50% last year. That's a huge increase in the amount of artworks that are being transacted by younger artists. And if younger artists are kind of making these things, then as I was saying, it's kind of an entryway. So I think that people are trading and they want to be involved in the market, and with more artists and different artists, you'll get more and different collectors, which will just kind of keep the market proliferating.
Yeah, kind of exactly. And you know, that does, I do remember that from Maybe the end of the year art tactic report, people are trading. The volume of sales is up. So the market may be down, but there is still active interest in it, which is super exciting. I'm going to throw you a curveball here. So from an investment perspective, if both of us are allowed to do that, what would you say? There's an interest in prints from blue chip artists to younger artists. Which one would you say is more investable if you had to, from the reports that you do? If you could answer that, what would you say?
I think that's a very difficult one without a timeline on it. I think, you know, if you had to sell tomorrow, where would you go? I think that I would probably say blue chip would be more investable. I think that the young artists are having a great resurgence and kind of they're doing very well at the moment. Who knows, you know, what will hold. The art market is a very fickle market. We don't know who's going to be popular today versus tomorrow. Some do very well, some don't. Whereas I think if you buy a blue chip, you probably have to spend a bit more up front, but you'll probably hold on to the value a bit better.
Right. Blue chip works definitely do come with a premium. I know that both of our reports are based off of public sales data. I want to talk about public sales versus private sales. When we are making these predictions about, you know, the art market and trends, obviously these are difficult to do because, as you said, the art market is fickle. Demand change, taste change. It's a little easier to do with, applying data to it. That's kind of the best we can do. But as I mentioned, when we're doing this, we use public sales data solely because that's what's available to us. Do you think that there are any implications in using only public sales data and completely disregarding private sales?
Well, yeah, it's really tough. You don't know what's happening in the private market, and we kind of never will. I think one of the, you know, the kind of the average would say, and I think kind of over time, it's about 48% auction to 52% private sale. So you can roughly double to kind of guess the size of the market. But I mean, that's a headline figure. So you don't know for an individual artist what's happening. I think that, public sales give transparency. We won't know what's happening, but I think maybe specific to the print market, given that prints obviously come in editions, so you can kind of see where one is trading. So, you know, if your bank, the Banksy that you have, another from the edition of 50 sells at auction, and you know you're looking at buying something in a primary gallery, you can see that actually that exact print sold here at auction. So I think that private sales and public sales do become quite linked now that there's such a, you know, kind of the expanding reach of data and people's willingness to look into it for themselves.
Yeah. It's an interesting one. So for our listeners who may not know, my art broker conducts, we facilitate the buying and selling of private sales. Our market reports, though, just like our art tactics, are based solely on public sales. Incorporating private sales, it does integrate, I think it integrates a level of confidence into the valuation, into transparency and fair market value, which, as I mentioned before, on our website, we have an AI value indicator, which does incorporate private sales to give that extra level of confidence. And, you know, there is, say, 52% of the market performs privately. It's kind of a different buying realm. It's outside of the public spectacle. There's not so much pressure to bid. It's a different one. But, you know, it is difficult to report on. We can only say as much as we can and provide our confidence in it because it's in the very nature of the title. It is private sales. There's one last subject I want to touch upon, and it's the May auctions coming up in New York, because Lindsay, I know you will be covering them. And the topic of my art broker's next market report will in one way or another come from the results of those sales. So the catalogs are not available yet. But are there any works from the preview works? Is there anything that you are excited about, or are you looking forward to? Are you hoping for any results? What are you hoping to see?
I think for me, what I'm excited by is that, you know, a lot of the top lots that have been announced so far have been by women artists, which I think is something that we look at a lot at Art Tactic. You know, I've been pioneering this women artist reports. We've done three now where we just focus on women. I make sure that we always look at women artists and what's happening there. So Christie's announced on Instagram, which I thought was very, very cool of them, that they've got a Poppy by O'Keefe, and I think that, you know, that'll do really well. She sold very well recently in the New York sale, and then Sotheby's have got the four Joan Mitchell paintings from across her career. So I think, you know, it's great that these sales are being framed and defined, I guess, by women artists in the preview. So I think that's very exciting. So looking forward to seeing what else they can come up with.
Yeah, absolutely. I know there is a Lenore Carrington coming up. That one looks fantastic. Of course, there are the heavyweight blue chip males as well. It seems like Basquiat is all the talk of these May auctions, as he was, I think, in 2023 as well. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, the weight of these works and see who plays out. So yeah, definitely something to look forward to. Lindsay, any predictions for the future in the art market? Anything you're looking forward to seeing after the May auctions, whether it has to do with prints, art technology?
I think there's a lot upcoming. I haven't quite made it to Venice yet, so I'm excited to go over and see that. So I think that's kind of been the talk of everyone here in London recently. You know, have you been to Venice yet? When are you going? Obviously, with it just opening last week. But I think, you know, there's a lot happening, especially in the print market. There are so many dedicated sales now for, you know, all the way through. We've seen single owner collections of prints. So I think that will continue.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, looking forward to seeing that. Lindsay, thank you so much for being here and taking the time. If any of our listeners wanted to get a hold of an Art Tactic report, or they had any questions for you, how can they do that? Who should they reach?
I think the best way would be to kind of go through our socials. We're at Art Tactic on Instagram and Twitter. We are very active there. Or you can go on our website, just arttactic.com. And we have all of our reports are available to buy. Or you can join as a member and you will get many updates from me.
Amazing. Well, and of course, from my art broker side, you can access our market reports via our website. So to be sure to check those out. You can follow us on Instagram as well at myartbroker.com. And to all our listeners, thank you so much. Be sure to subscribe to My Art Broker Talks podcast and subscribe to Art Tactic podcast. And Lindsay, this has been fun. I hope to do something like this again very soon.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Sheena. I've really enjoyed our chat.
Thank you.